Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We have a trio of new unscripted projects for you to hear about over the next 90 minutes. Showtime is couple therapy on Friday night, dealing with a quartet of relationships having weekly therapy sessions, kicks things off. Executive producer Josh Krigman joins me next. Dog the Bounty Hunter is back in pursuit of fugitives tomorrow night in Dogs Most Wanted. Chris Dorsey, executive producer of the WGN America presentation, will be aboard next half hour. HGTV marks 50 years of the Brady Bunch on TV next Monday night with a very Brady renovation, where the inside of that iconic home gets upgraded with support from the six adults who played the Brady Kids back in 1969. We'll learn more next hour from two HGTV senior executives steering this project, Robert Windisch and Lauren Roche. Also ahead, the latest on Hurricane Dorian, Tyler Perry expands his TV horizon, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in that half hour. Welcome to September, and welcome once again to the program All About Television, special 90-minute edition to kick the month off. We hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Our thoughts and prayers are to everybody who was impacted in the Bahamas and elsewhere by Hurricane Dorian. We will update on the situation in a few moments. We're delighted to have you with us. Great guests coming away from all over the place in the next hour and a half, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the conversation. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We got a chat room in business for you, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Simon Apple 04 is the name of the room, and it's just waiting to hear from you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. It's 80 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York metro area, and here is the latest on Hurricane Dorian. On the good news, it has been downgraded from a Category 4 to a Category 2 hurricane. That's the good news. The bad news, it is still a very pungent force in weather-wise. Right now, the winds are at 110 miles per hour. It's gusting 130 miles an hour. It's about 80 miles off the coast of Florida, and it's moving northwest at 2 miles per hour. And that started early this afternoon after more than 2 days stalled on top of the Bahamas. Now, right now, according to Liz Computer Guidance, it will remain a Category 2 storm through Thursday. By Thursday morning, it could be around the South Carolina coast. And by Friday morning, it could be around the North Carolina-Virginia border, still at a Category 2, which is winds of 100 miles per hour or more. Right now, the forecast is in Florida, from West Palm Beach to Daytona Beach, storm surge of 3 to 5 feet, 4 to 7 feet or higher in Daytona Beach to Cape Lockhart, South Carolina. The rainfall totals at this point, Daytona Beach is looking anywhere from 3 to 5 inches when all is said and done. Jacksonville, Florida, 2 to 3. Savannah, Georgia, 2 to 3. And Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 7 to 10 inches. And all of this could change if the storm moves one way or the other. This is one of the most amazing weather phenomenons that anyone has seen in the last few decades. Once again, Hurricane Dorian is on the move again. It is moving northwest at 2 miles per hour. It is now a Category 2 storm, but keep in mind that's a very powerful, pungent storm with winds over 100 miles an hour. If you're in an area, and there's now evacuation going on in Georgia, in South and North Carolina, and in Virginia. So if you're in low-lying areas, please make your plans now to stock up, move to higher ground, go to shelters, whatever. Do not wait to the last minute. Just remember what is happening with the Bahamas, where at least 5 people have been killed because of the hurricane so far. And that was as of Sunday. So we'll keep you updated throughout the time here by yourself and other Blog Talk, by yours truly, another Blog Talk Radio host. Remember to stay in touch with your local weather services, the Weather Channel, AccuWeather, local and national cable channels, et cetera, TV stations, and we will all get through this. So before we get to our guest of the day, let's give you some TV news notes. Creating a new series for BET and partnering with Viacom to launch BET Plus this fall apparently has been up on the TV plate of Tyler Perry. He formed a new TV and filmmaking venture, Peachtree and Vine, this morning with former Lionsgate marketing executive Tim Payne, who's worked with him on the Madea films and other projects. Yes, Peachtree and Vine. Peachtree is the famous street in Atlanta where Tyler Perry Studios is based. Vine, based on the Hollywood street, will develop TV series, scripted and unscripted, for BET, BET Plus, and other Viacom services. Now, before we get to our first guest, some quickies. The long-awaited series adaptation of Watchmen premieres October 20th on HBO. Netflix will go forward with Centaur World, a new tune series from How to Train Your Dragon 2 animator Megan Dong. And MeTV will play 3 hours of Mary Tyler Moore and Rhoda episodes Sunday in honor of Valerie Harper, the Emmy-winning actress and Rhoda portrayer who died over Labor Day weekend at the age of 80. We also found out before going on the air that Get TV, owned by Sony, which is like MeTV, a multicast channel on many cable systems or broadcast stations on digital around the country, will also be presenting an episode of one of Valerie Harper's last appearances on television when she was in the series Hot in Cleveland with Betty White and crew. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live here in New York, the executive producer of Showtime's new series, Couples Therapy, premiering Friday night, Josh Kriegman. Josh, welcome in.
Hi, glad to be here.
Josh, this is, for Showtime, a very groundbreaking series in a couple of ways. One, they've never done a program like this. Secondly, I've covered Showtime for years. I believe it's the first series in a long while that they are premiering on Friday night in prime time, which is not the normal time that they premiere a new series. What's your thoughts about what Showtime is doing, and what's your thoughts about doing the series for them?
I mean, my understanding is that Showtime is, you know, really investing heavily in these documentaries and documentary series. And I mean, it's just it's a wonderful place for us and for this series. It's a really exciting place for us to be.
How does this program differ from other shows that one way or another have dealt with psychiatry?
Yeah, so, you know, therapy has been covered in some ways in the fiction world and in nonfiction, but usually it's pretty salacious and sensational, and it's certainly in the nonfiction realm, it can be a really sensational thing. It can really, you know, there's a temptation to indulge in what's salacious, and we really, our vision for this was to avoid that entirely. We really wanted to find a way to capture therapy and what happens in the therapist's office that is authentic, that's real, and that really preserves what's so powerful about people being open and honest with each other in therapy.
When does therapy work on a patient or patients? What about therapy can make it an empowering force for people?
I mean, I think one of the things that you see in the series is that there is incredible power in really basically in just facing the truth about what's going on within our relationships. You know, people don't often talk about what's going on. Often couples suffer in isolation, and there's a kind of loneliness with our struggles because we're not necessarily super open, or and we tend to, you know, there's a kind of taboo against even acknowledging that relationships require a tremendous amount of work and often a tremendous amount of conflict. And so one of the things that this series does is it gives us a chance to sort of discover and recognize that our struggles are universal and they're human, and that if we are willing to kind of be open and to face each other honestly and authentically, really tremendous things can happen. And there, you know, you can really find real breakthroughs and discoveries in therapy.
How did this project come your way?
So both my parents are therapists. I grew up kind of exposed to the language of therapy and, you know, hearing about the kinds of extraordinary things that can happen in the therapist's office. And really, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, growing up in that way, I'm kind of a true believer in the value of being honest and real with each other in our relationships. And so my filmmaking partners, Elise Steinberg and Eli Dupre, the three of us together have been thinking for a long time about, you know, would it be possible to capture what is so extraordinary about therapy while also filming it? You know, is it possible for people to be open and real and vulnerable in a way that they can do real work while also knowing that they are being filmed? So that was something that we wrestled with and thought about a lot for quite a while. And then we made a documentary about Anthony Weiner. I don't know if you saw the film Weiner. That was from a few years ago. And one of the things about that film, where you watched Anthony Weiner struggling with his scandal, is what you see is that it was also about Anthony and his wife and that relationship. And what people really responded to was seeing how the reality of who they were and what they were going through was in many ways quite different, much more complex and nuanced than what they saw in the headlines. And that's a truth about relationships in general. You never really know what's going on with other people. And we were excited to delve deeper into that and to see if we could find a way to look at relationships from the inside.
I want to welcome somebody into our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Our guest this first half hour, what is a, you might say, a wide world of unscripted episode of Tomorrow Be Televised this Tuesday afternoon, is Josh Kliegman. He's the award-winning filmmaker. As you mentioned, he was involved with a very unique documentary and critically acclaimed called Weiner. And now he is one of the executive producers with his filmmaking colleagues of Couples Therapy. It's a brand-new series on Showtime that premieres this Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It will also be available on Showtime's service, available through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Josh joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, our first episode of September 2019. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York, 8 degrees at the top of the hour. Beautiful day here in the Big Apple. And again, if you have a question or comment for Josh, put the phone in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a wonderful hour in store for you on Friday. We will have some of the people behind the new Netflix sensation, The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. That's the new prequel series that premiered last Friday based on the acclaimed Jim Henson movie. We'll have three of its co-executive producers and lead writers. And one of the time-honored traditions of television, Kids Say the Darndest Things, comes back later this month as a Sunday night primetime attraction on ABC, hosted and executive produced by Tiffany Haddish. We'll have the other two executive producers working with her, Eric Schatz, who worked with Art Linkletter and Bill Cosby on a previous edition of Kids Say the Darndest Things for CBS sometime back. And we'll also have Just Off Card Sharks this summer on ABC, executive producer Jack Martin. That's all coming up Friday, exclusively, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How long, Josh, did it take for you and your filmmakers to win both the trust of the couples that are portrayed here as well as the therapists?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's always a critical component of doing these projects, and especially with one like this. It was, you know, utterly essential for us that we had the trust of the couples who were in it and also of the therapists, and that everyone understood the vision and was on the same page in terms of what we were doing together. So, you know, we're always totally upfront with everyone about what we're doing. And in terms of the couples, I mean, we were looking for folks who could really also buy into the mission of doing this as part of a documentary. I mean, these are real people. They're relatable and they have genuine crises in their relationships. So they were genuinely looking for help in therapy, but also in terms of doing it as a documentary, they were inspired by the idea that sharing their struggles publicly could be helpful to other people who might be struggling in similar ways or with similar issues. And that really, you know, it cuts to the core of the mission of the series and was a big part of our conversations as we, you know, found the people who would be the right fit for this.
Were there any concerns raised by the therapists, any preconditions that they had tried to set or were set in terms of what you could cover and what you couldn't?
No, not at all. I mean, the thing that we as filmmakers, the thing that we were excited to do here was to set up a space where real therapy could be done, and then to kind of sit back and observe and capture that. We never asked anyone to say anything or do anything. It was really about letting this therapist, who is brilliant, her name is Orna Goralnik, and it was letting her do her work and letting the couples do their work with her without interference. So, you know, the couples brought in what they wanted to, and it was really entirely up to them, you know, what issues they covered and how they expressed themselves and where they went in the course of treatment. And they had a long time to do it. This was over 20 weeks. So you really get to see them work through issues in a really substantial way.
Who are the four couples that you portray, that you showcase, and what are their backgrounds? Where do they come from, and what issues are they struggling with?
This is a really diverse group of people. You know, we, in order to find these couples, we cast a very wide net. We went through all the imaginable channels and invited folks to consider doing couple therapy as part of the documentary. And we ended up getting, I think, over 1,000 responses. There's a lot of interest in doing this. And we worked quite hard over a number of months to find the people who are really the right fit. As I was just saying, they really need to genuinely be interested in doing real work, and they really needed to feel inspired by the mission of sharing. So we ended up with a diverse group. They are from all walks of life, you know, different backgrounds, ethnicities, races, different sexual orientations, and even gender identity. So there's a real diversity in terms of who they are and where they come from. And there's a real diversity of issues. These couples struggle with broadly relatable issues that I think can be familiar to a lot of us. You know, there's issues of trust and infidelity, suspicions of cheating. One couple struggles with this question and has some real conflict over when to have a child. Another couple really delves deep into the past of one of the members of the couple and is really wrestling with the way that her trauma, the trauma of her childhood, affects her marriage to this day. So, I mean, these are, you know, broadly relatable issues that, you know, as a viewer, you may not necessarily relate exactly to one thing or another, but these are relationship dynamics that I think will be familiar to many of us.
Did you find that when you were filming or taping these sessions, that the therapists had a common way to, or common dynamic to address the situation? Or did everybody try different things, or in some semblance of order?
I think it's a combination. I mean, you know, there's dynamics that are familiar that pop up again and again in couples, in relationships, and in the therapeutic process. And then there's certain dynamics that are specific to exactly what a couple is going through at any given moment. There's really not, you know, people kind of want a little bit of a one-size-fits-all kind of solution or the sort of the easy version of how to improve their relationship or what to do. And it's, you know, one of the things that you see in this series is just how complicated relationships really are and how complicated the treatment can be. It's not a simple process. Oftentimes, I think one of the challenges with the way therapy is presented in our culture is it's reduced and simplified in a way that loses the authenticity. What we were excited about was preserving the authenticity, including some of the twists and turns and challenges of really helping people to, you know, find each other and figure out how to find common ground with somebody who just sees the world very differently than they do.
One of the past stereotypes of therapy sessions when they're documented, or particularly in scripted television, I guess early on, was sort of the classic joke of you get to a certain point, like a cliffhanger of the situation that the therapist, both the therapist and the patient is dealing with, and then, oh, time's up, got to see you next week at the same time, kind of thing. How does therapists handle it? Is that something that really does crop up where the therapist and the patient are approaching like a cliffhanger or a turning point, let's say, in the situation, and there's a time pressure?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about therapy, typical therapy, and this was true in our series as well, is there's a time constraint on it. So in the case of the series, these were hour-long sessions. They were a solid 60 minutes, and at the end of 60 minutes, you know, our therapist essentially says, time's up. Now, sometimes there's some flexibility there, but often that can be in the middle of a conversation. Often conversations are sort of, in some ways, just getting going at that point. I mean, it runs the gamut in terms of how that time limit impacts the conversation. And that's part of the process. I mean, that's one thing that I think therapists have found is actually quite useful, is creating some constraints that give a kind of container to the work, so that couples and individuals in therapy also can understand sort of how it progresses. And, you know, there were times when we, in the terms of the series, where a viewer will see real breakthroughs happening and real discoveries, and the rhythms of that work can vary tremendously from couple to couple.
We have Josh Krigman with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's one of the executive producers of the groundbreaking Showtime series, Couples Therapy. It premieres this Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Very rare situation for Showtime to do. Again, it's Friday night, this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. It will also be running on the Showtime streaming service. It's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Josh joins us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Two more minutes with him. And if you have a question or comment for him, make the phone go 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We had a great response to our final August episode last Friday where we had Alfonso Moreno. He is the executive producer and writer of the popular Hallmark Channel series When Calls the Heart and the brand new Hallmark Movies Now series that premiered this past Friday on smart TV sets and devices When Hope Calls. Also, Alex V, the creative executive producer of the new Hulu drama Wu-Tang, an American Saga, premiering this week on Hulu. And if you missed that episode or any of our episodes this past month, it's very easy to find them and hear them. What you got to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or check out the podcast version. It's also available 24/7 on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker, and the iHeart Radio Podcast Network. When you go to iHeartRadio's website, make sure that you put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in, or go to categories at the top of the bar or top of the screen, click in entertainment, and you will get our episodes right then and there for your listening element and pleasure. Josh, was there any surprising thing for you that did surprise you about the way therapists operate?
One of the things that was, I don't know if it was exactly surprising, but one of the things that we really didn't know going into this project was whether it would work fundamentally. I mean, we obviously believed in the prospect of capturing therapy, but we really didn't know that whether people who knew they were being filmed would be able to be raw and real in the way that they would need to be in order for real therapy to happen. And so it was basically a delight to discover that, yes, in fact, we were able to capture some extraordinary work that went very deep. And it was partly a process of finding the right people and then also creating an environment where, you know, from a filmmaking perspective, it was really critical that we were able to create a space where the couples and the therapists were not distracted by cameras and by production. So we actually had our cameras concealed behind one-way glass and totally out of sight. And so they always knew they were being filmed, but they never were focusing on it. And that, I think, really helped. The couples were able to have an experience that really felt like a typical session where they walked in, they sat in a waiting room, they did an hour of therapy, they left, and they never once interacted with any elements of the production behind the scenes. So, you know, it was an extraordinary experiment on some level to see if real work could happen, and it did.
Mm-hmm. With the four couples that you dealt with, as well as the hundreds of hours, I'm sure, of film you got from the therapy session, plus, I'm sure, interviews before and after, how did you and your colleagues figure on arranging the episodes? Do you have it so that we see all four couples each episode, or one couple gets more of the activity in one particular episode, another gets in another? How did you frame or put these episodes together?
Yeah, the sort of key component of it all for us as a creative team is that there were no rules. You know, we tried out a lot of different things, and what we found was that what worked best was having, you know, spending some time with various couples throughout each episode. So what you see in the series is in each episode, you'll see at least three, sometimes four of the couples working through a particular session. And that just ended up being what felt best and what worked best in terms of telling their stories. You know, it was almost 80 hours of, over 80 hours of footage, and, you know, teasing that down into the final series is certainly a challenge. We had to work through all this material and figure out, you know, what the actual core of the through line was. You know, what is the real thread? What's really going on here? What this will focus on, and present that in a way that feels authentic and is authentic to the process that the couples went through.
Mm-hmm. Josh, what's next for you and your colleagues? Do you want to do a second season of the series? Do you want to go move on to another TV series or another movie project? Where are things going from here?
Well, we would love to continue to work on this series. I think the potential is limitless. You know, this is an evergreen thing. You know, what goes on between us in relationships, it will never grow old and it will never be tired. So, you know, we would love to continue to explore relationships in this way for a long time.
The series is Couples Therapy. It is Showtime's first documentary series running on Friday night, starting this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local news for where Showtime is available in your area on cable and satellite. Don't forget, you can also see the series on the Showtime streaming service, and that is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the program online, go to Showtime.com. That's Showtime.com. Couple Therapy, season premiere and series premiere this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, again on Showtime and on the Showtime streaming app available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Josh Quinn, one of the executive producers of the series, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting the series off the ground. Hope it has a wonderful run and a long run, too. And also, if you haven't seen Wiener, do see it. It's a terrific documentary and got a lot of great awards and nominations in various categories from companies all over the place, and well worth it. If you haven't seen it, really well worth your time. Josh, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. Take care. Josh Quigman, executive producer of Couples Therapy on Showtime, joining us live from New York. Now time for a message from our fine folks at Audible.com. If you love The Daily Show and its terrific host, Trevor Noah, have you checked out his famous book and audiobook, Born in Crime, about how he dealt with apartheid in his native South Africa and post-apartheid as well before he came to the United States and became a terrific comedian and Daily Show host? Well, you can now do that because that can be one of your trio of audiobooks you can get free with a trial run at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals, that's original audio productions, great shows from Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater around the country, and the best one-woman, one-man shows around. And remember, you can listen to any audiobook from Audible on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible Originals, 1 month trial of service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Great, great deal. Particularly, and by the way, Audible reading or audio reading, great back to school for all the teenagers and 20-somethings in the place. So remember, if you'd like to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you and people you know hear the world, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised and take that trial offer today. Coming up in our next hour on Tomorrow Televised, more of the wide world of unscripted television. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll go live to Denver, and we'll speak with unscripted TV executive and company owner Chris Dorsey. His latest project premieres tomorrow night on WGN America, the return of Dog the Bounty Hunter in Dog's Most Wanted. And then, nearly 50 years after the Brady Bunch first appeared on ABC, there's a brand new Brady series, A Very Brady Renovation, premiering next Monday night on HGTV. Two of the HGTV executives that made the show happen will be with us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, that's the headquarters of the network, and New York, respectively. And that's coming up in about a half hour from now. Remember, if you'd like to check up on episodes you missed, remember, you can always do that by going to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, the podcast version always available to you at Spreaker's podcast app, Apple TV, iTunes, and iHeartRadio's podcast network. Coming up in the next half hour also, our classic trivia question of the week. And if you'd like to get a copy of the book, The 3-Minute Rule, from our guest last Monday, Branson Diddick, stay tuned. Get the pencil, paper, and the thinking caps ready, because you could win. That, plus Chris Dorsey from Dogs Most Wanted on WJ America. He joined us live from the Mile High City after we paused at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to Western Net Radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for Missouri Grassroots Radio. Check out tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. Missouri Grassroots Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. And stay tuned to BTR for ongoing coverage of Hurricane Dorian. Many of our hosts and producers will keep you informed throughout the day and throughout the week. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Told Live, our first September 2019 episode live from New York. So I'm with you live from the Big Apple, 80 degrees top of the hour here in the New York metro area. And starting tomorrow and definitely on Thursday, we should be keeping an eye as well on Hurricane Dorian, especially if it does make landfall somewhere a day or two earlier in the along the North Carolina or Virginia coastline. And again, stay tuned to your local weather forecasters, whether it's local TV stations, news channels, national services, the Weather Channel, et cetera, for the very latest information. Got some more great guests for you in our unscripted Wide World episode for you today over the next hour. We invite you, of course, to be part of the program, be interactive with us. Just pick up the phone and use it, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's been several years since WGN America has done an unscripted program, but tomorrow night it's back in the unscripted hunt, thanks to the return to television of one of the most unique personalities of the last two decades, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Now in a series called Dogs Most Wanted. It premieres on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live from Denver, Colorado, is the executive producer of the program. He also runs his own unscripted TV company, Dorsey Pictures. Please welcome this program for the first time, Chris Dorsey. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Simon. Good to be with you.
Same here. Talk about what it took to have Dwayne Dog Chapman back on the air through your series.
Yeah, kind of an interesting coincidence, actually. They Dog and Beth brought a character to our offices here in Denver, and you may know that they've got a house in Denver and spent about half the year in Denver and split between Hawaii and Colorado. And while we didn't do anything with the other talent, it was an interesting talent, interesting idea, but just not right in the timing of the network pitches. But it sparked a conversation with Dog and Beth about, you know, what are you doing now? What's going on with A&E, what's going on with CMT, and they were kind of in between projects at that point, but still had a lot of passion for it. We started doing some research on the numbers, and the fan base, the following that they had was just sort of undeniable. It's like, what the heck? You know, we've got to do something here, and scratched our heads. We made some calls to networks, and, you know, they had other crime projects going, other concepts that were kind of conflicting with them. But then I remembered a good friend of mine, Gavin Harvey, was taking over WGN America, and they had some real success in some scripted crime shows. And he certainly knew all about Dog and Beth, and so it was a kind of a concept that evolved very quickly, and we reset the concept a little bit, and they got very excited about it, and here we are.
Well, there's certain things that Dog wanted to do on his previous series with his late wife Beth that he could do on this series in terms of pursuing fugitives.
Yeah, I mean, it's bringing together the Dirty Dozen, right? His whole posse, and I mean, he's such a force of nature, and Beth, of course, God rest her soul, was as well. And together they made this amazing team and inspired and. And, you know, as tough as they were, as good at what they do as they were, it really became that human dimension between Dog and the perps that he was catching, and the dimension between Beth and the family that really became the show. And I think what's special about this season, obviously, is what transpired with Beth. And I think they spent the whole season trying to figure out what was going to happen with Beth and how was she going to say goodbye? She knew she had terminal cancer, but she basically demanded that we keep rolling. And she famously said to the producers, look, I want to die with my boots on, which became part of the marketing of the whole series. She wanted this thing covered to the end. And I think she really got strength from viewers and they from her at the end of the day, and it really was an amazingly powerful television. I think when people see this, it's going to be a whole different level of Dog the Bounty Hunter that nobody's ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Gavin Harvey, we should point out, is the president of WGN America. Did Beth feel at the end of her life that she accomplished everything she wanted to, and that she felt that with her husband that they were able to accomplish everything that they wanted in her lifetime?
Well, I don't know if you could really answer that for someone. I don't know what all of her hopes and dreams were. I do know this, that she wanted to do something productive till the very end. As long as she could take a breath and be physically able, she wanted to be doing good, and she did. And she drove the rest of them. They couldn't have a bad day with her around, because if anybody had an excuse to check out, it was Beth Chapman, and she didn't. And that was really a driving force, a defining force. And I think it's something when millions of viewers tune in, they're going to see and they're going to be inspired by what she did at the very end.
And we should, of course, point out that our condolences continue to go to Dog and Beth's family and many, many friends and followers who watched them throughout their career in television, but also their career in life as well. They were partners on television, but also much, much more partners in life as well. What was it like doing this series, given that situation? And how did it impact the way you filmed the series compared to, let's say, other reality shows or unscripted shows you do?
Well, it was a big deal, obviously. And I think as a producer, when somebody is suffering, somebody's got a terminal illness, somebody for whatever reason is going to be compromised in what they can do going forward, physically, emotionally, whatever, your tendency as a producer is to be a human being and give them space and say, look, you know, go take care of your health, go take care of yourself, the show will be fine, et cetera. And of course we did that. And that's when she reeled us back in and had a very, very personal, very heart-to-heart conversation with everybody on the crew. Look, I want to be in this. This is important to me. I've got to be a part of this. We can still do good things right up until the end. And lots of tears, lots of emotion. So, again, it's just something like I've never been a part of in the production world. I've never seen anything like this, to have that kind of access. And I think the power of these people, and they've got millions and millions of fans all over the world, not just America, all over the world. People wake up in 150 countries of the world every day and they see their faces. And I think what resonates is just what open books they are. The flaws, the humor, the sadness, it's all there. And I think it's imminently relatable to so many people. And that's the magic of Dog and Beth. And I think it's on full display this season.
The season we're talking about is the first season of Dog's Most Wanted. It's a brand new series on WGN America, their first unscripted series in a number of years. And it premieres tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. I believe it's either 9 or 6 p.m. Pacific time on WGN America. We've got Chris Dorsey. He's not only executive producer of this series, he runs his own production company that specializes on scripted television, part of the Red Arrow Studio family of production companies. We'll talk about Chris's career and about the other shows he is currently working on and in development on, coming up in a little bit. And if you have a question or comment for Chris, who joins us live from Denver, Colorado, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll ring it in. Be interactive with us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, coming up on Friday's episode, we will have three of the co-executive producers and writers of the new Netflix sensation, The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. That is the new prequel reboot of the classic Jim Henson movie. And then, from the new ABC series, Kids Say the Darndest Things, hosted and executive produced by Tiffany Haddish, that's the famous Art Linkletter created project from many moons ago, that will be coming on later this month in prime time, Sunday nights on ABC. We'll have the person that worked with both Art Linkletter and Bill Cosby on a previous version of Kids, Eric Schatz. And coming off big success this summer with the revival of Card Sharks on ABC, we had him on the show, we did that this summer, Jack Martin. Eric Schatz and Jack Martin from Kids Say the Darndest Things, and the big trio from The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, all Friday, exclusively, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Chris, with this series, where did you and your production crew travel with Dwayne and Beth and the posse?
Basically, wherever bad guys needed to be caught, and that was all over the southeast, from Texas to the southeast U.S. to Hawaii, in Colorado, and in all parts in between. So it was really really quite an adventure, and his passion was to get the worst of the worst off the streets, and by virtue of that, he would really look at how do we find these guys that are really creating a problem for a lot of folks, and let's get them off the streets, and that became his focus.
Mm-hmm. And were there any new techniques that he and his group used for the first time?
You know, we used a fair amount of thermal scopes and night vision and some new, you know, new technologies basically to help the hunt process. But this is a guy that's so savvy in terms of how to go about doing this. There's never been anybody like him, obviously, in the bounty hunting space. So his success really comes what's found between his ears. I mean, he has so much experience on the behavior of these guys, what they're going to do, their connection to family, to friends, where they would go if they're pressed, all this kind of stuff. And you could just see this sort of calculus as he was figuring out where to find these people and how other people and maybe their friend set or family set would try and protect them, cover them, et cetera. Dog would just cut through that. And it's pretty amazing. And yet he would do this traveling around the country. And of course he's identifiable 2 miles away. So anytime he shows up in a community, it's, you know, the phones light up, the media lights up, you know, so that makes his job a little bit more difficult. However, he activates his posse wherever he goes. He says, I'm looking for somebody. He's got millions of people out there helping him in that hunt. So the posse became much bigger.
Who are some of the fugitives that he hunts down in this series?
Oh, you're gonna have to watch and find out. There's some bad dudes there, and some of the top 10 most wanted guys, and folks that are just dangerous. You know, just not just dangerous to society, but obviously if they're pressed and somebody like Dog and his team show up, you know, Lord knows what they're gonna do, and that's of course the magic of the show.
Mm-hmm. How different was doing this show from other things you have done, both currently and formerly, as a producer of this medium?
You know, I get that question a fair amount. You know, one of our series, I think it's in season 11 right now, called Building Alaska, you know, where people are building remote cabins in the far corners of the Alaskan bush compared to Dog the Bounty Hunter. We're also in production on a new IMAX film in the wildlife conservation space. So our breadth and scope is pretty significant. So depending on what day it is, which hat you're putting on. But of course, we have different teams that are working on. And so we bring in people that have a lot of DNA, a lot of specialty in this kind of crime space and fugitive space. And again, people that have been around Dog in many cases know the ropes quite well. And Matt Osmus, who is our producer on this, was just terrific. Done a lot of stuff on big broadcast networks, and I think really took this whole bounty hunting space to kind of a different level. And because of the storylines that developed around Beth, because of kind of the reboot, the reset of what was happening with the concept, doing some of the things that Dog has always wanted to do in terms of going after the worst of the worst, it just became a really special series this year. So anyway, it's one we're just very excited about and can't wait to see the ratings on this on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been in this field of doing unscripted television? What motivated you to not only be a producer in the genre, but also ultimately to form your own company?
You know, we founded the company about 22 years ago, actually, doing lots of sort of outdoor adventure programming and we've done a ton of stuff for the old scripts, now Discovery, a lot of home renovation, lots of sort of adventure programming. We've got a new series on Oxygen that's done very, very well, just renewed now on Oxygen, a crime series. And we're getting more and more into the crime space. I think it's, you know, we're not in L.A., we're not in New York, so we've got different sensibilities when it comes to, you know, crime in small town, rural America. We have tremendous access there. And that's a big chunk of the television audience these days. And of course, WGN America does very well in the heartland as well. But it's, you know, I think we program kind of our own sensibility and our own filter that we look through to find crime. So we're not just pitching the same stuff that you would find in New York and LA production companies, but the small town, rural America, places where law enforcement very often is underfunded and sometimes judgment happens too quickly, and there's more activity when it comes to friends and family members that are saying, wait a minute, that person didn't do that. There's no way they did that, and they take it upon themselves to really do their own investigations and pull in their own resources. So it's a bit of a different look at crime, but we found that there's a big appetite for that kind of look at crime, and so we think we're onto something there. We've had tremendous success now with accident, suicide, or murder on Oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Because you're based in Denver as opposed to New York, Chicago, L.A., explain more about the sensibility that you can bring to, not just the fact you can, you're more open to doing stories out of the heartland, out of areas of the country that don't get as much national coverage in these type of true crime shows or other unscripted genres, but also how you approach the filmmaking, how you approach the videotape making, how you approach the subjects, how you approach the local police departments in terms of getting their cooperation to join them on cases.
Well, you'd be amazed at how far you can get with law enforcement, with other potential reality stars, characters, business owners that might make good television just by virtue of saying you're not from New York or L.A. as a TV producer. That seems to open a lot of doors in the heartland. There seems to be sort of an inherent distrust of coastal production companies for a lot of people, and justified or not, that's just sort of a reality that we see. But I think the biggest deal that we find is we look at characters in the heartland as real people, as characters, not caricatures of what somebody else might think they should be. And I think that's subtle, but it's distinctive in the marketplace. And I see stuff all the time that's done by coastal production companies and networks that you know, maybe don't know any better, where you just go, well, that's just BS. You know, and they would never say that. They would never do that. That doesn't resonate as true. So if you're trying to communicate to people in the heartland, you better get that right. Otherwise, you lose your credibility, et cetera. And I think that's something we've always been sensitive to, watching other programs. And look, there's plenty of great programs done by coastal production companies. What I'm saying is we just happen to have a little bit different view when it comes to, you know, what is authentic in the heartland. You know, because we live here and our friends are in that world and we socialize in that world. We don't hang out in New York and L.A., you know, cocktail bars after hours. We're here. You know, we're in the heartland every day. So I think we just have a bit of a different feel for that, and we should, you know, since we're here.
And incidentally, there are quite a few production companies like yours that are based in places like Denver, based in Austin, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Des Moines, Iowa. It's very interesting how many of some of the top production companies are based in those areas, or places like the South, like Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or Atlanta, Georgia, you know, places like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason you can't be based somewhere else. And I think just traditionally, the business has grown up in New York and L.A., and so it's always kind of been the baseline business out there. And yet now people are going, well, wait a minute, I can find characters anywhere. I can hire people. Even if you hire people as contractors from the coast, that's fine. But you're finding ideas and looking at different spaces, looking through a different lens to find ideas if you're not necessarily in that same environment that every other production company is in. So I think it's been a real asset for us, bottom line.
Yeah. Apart from true crime programs or programs where, like Girls Most Wanted, you're in the fugitive hunting business, what's your favorite kind of unscripted show to do?
You know, we've got some great stuff going on right now in the animal space, some stuff that hasn't been announced yet we're really excited about. Interestingly, the hurricane, Dorian, has had a little impact on our shooting recently, but anyway, it's, you know, the animal space, the adventure space, again, more crime. We've got more crime stuff coming. We've got a new Discovery series that has not been announced yet, but we're excited about. We think it's got all the DNA to be a real hit for them for a long time. I'll just say that it involves gold, and that's all I can say about it. But anyway, we love doing fun projects, and and bringing in interesting people and getting excited about something that you think an audience is really going to love. Now, we don't always get that right, just like networks don't always get that right. But by God, you got to be an optimist, right?
Well, one thing we know, Chris, is that when it comes to Discovery, there's two things they really love, particularly on Friday nights: gold and Alaska. Those two, anything that deals with those two subjects, gold and Alaska, and especially when you put them together, they really, really enjoy it, and they love that kind of program. And we know because we've had a number of those on the show. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Chris Blierstein is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is not only the executive producer of the new WGN America series, premiering tomorrow night, Dolls Most Wanted, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, but he also runs his own company, Dorsey Pictures, based in Denver, Colorado. That's where he is this half hour on our program, which is on a wide variety of shows, everybody from Home and Garden Television to ESPN and ESPN2. And if you have a question or comment for Chris in our remaining moments, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up in a few minutes, our classic trivia question of the week. Get your pen, paper, thinking caps ready. You could win our newest prize, the three-minute rule. Say less to get more from any picture presentation by our guest last Monday, Brant Pendivic. So, and he's also an unscripted TV producer and executive as well. So stay tuned. You could be our next classic trivia winner in our first 4 September. So stay tuned. That is coming up in a few minutes. What else is in the works from your production company?
You know, we've got this big IMAX film that Michael Keaton's going to narrate for us. We're kind of excited about it. It's about a region of North America that nobody knows anything about biologically, ecologically, but it's vastly important in the whole scheme of birds in North America. So it's one of those. We just got the initial trailer done on it. The giant screen convention's happening next week, actually, up in Victoria, British Columbia. We'll be down in Los Angeles in 6 months. But the footage is absolutely remarkable. Can't wait to see it on an 85 by 60 foot screen.
Mm-hmm. Are there any genres that you haven't explored yet that you'd like to? Let's say like cooking competitions or game shows or shows dealing with unique aspects of sports.
You know, we've got some really fun stuff brewing in the food space and some fun talent that we're just in the process now of developing, we're going to take out. And I think also the relationship space is a space that we think we've got some interesting angles into. And we've signed a deal with Immersion Neuroscience, which is a really fascinating neuroscience company that we think can translate into relationships, into home buying, et cetera. And we've got some development ongoing there. But it's this neuroscience is really measuring truly what people feel and think as opposed to what they tell you they're feeling or thinking, which very often is very different when the cameras roll. So it's kind of a built-in shockproof BS detector that makes for really fun television. So we're kind of excited about that as well.
If you see how that kind of thing goes, many years ago, Sandy Frank did a weeknight series in syndication called Lie Detector, which mm-hmm. was the late criminal lawyer F.B. Bailey. Did not work out as well as they had hoped, only lasted a season, had to be rebooted actually midway through. But an interesting thing, and there's always been, and of course, now you have all the daytime shows like Steve Wilkos and Maury and so forth that have these Dr. Phil even with the lie detector test. So we need to see whether this new advanced kind of thing can not only will it work, but also could it be something that might be adopted by police or other crime busters?
Well, we signed an exclusive deal in the reality space because we knew how big it was, and it's completely different than the old lie detector technology. This is very different, much more immersive, much more accurate in terms of how it measures the oxytocin levels in the system, et cetera. So it's anyway, we're very, very excited about it. We've got something going in the home space right now with HGTV and this concept, so we'll see where that goes.
All right. By the way, I want to welcome Vocal Byte 3 into our chat room. He says, hello, room. So hello back to you. If you have a question or comment upcoming, put in the room or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And sort of a segue to our final segment there. And what do you think about the very Brady renovation project that Home and Garden is starting next week?
I thought it was a brilliant idea, and we were aware of that very early on in the process because we were talking about some other concepts, and we know those executives and very well. And I think the amount of earned media that concept, whether or not it gets a ratings point, is almost immaterial because they've had so much tremendous coverage over that. So I think it's kind of a win just out of the chute because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the executives involved with the project coming up for Next Step Now. I can tell you that at the upfront event for Discovery, which now owns Home and Garden Television, Food Network, et cetera, outright, they had the six Brady kids, you know, from Marie McCormack to Chris Benight and so forth, and they were all over the place, and they were the hit of that event at Alice Tilley Hall in New York several months ago. So it'll be interesting to see how, and they have certainly gotten a lot of buzz off this.
Yes, they have.
Kind of seems better to let you know, because it's coming up on 50 years since the first Brady Bunch episode aired on ABC.
That's right. Yeah, it used to be a staple in our diet, right?
Oh, for sure. And we'll see if Dog's Most Wanted becomes a staple in the diet of WGN America viewers starting tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern and I believe Pacific time also on WGN America. Check your listings for where that channel is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.wgnamerica.com. That's www.wgnamerica.com. If you want more details about Chris's production company and the other projects that they're doing, here's where you go online for that, www.dorseypictures.com. It's www.joystreet.com. That includes information about the IMAX film that I believe is coming out later on this year. Chris Dorsey, thanks so much for coming aboard. All the very best to you, Dog, the Chapman family, in terms of getting the show off the ground. Hopefully the first of a great long run for this series on WGN America, making its comeback in unscripted TV. And we'd love to have you back to talk about future TV projects. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Simon. Great to be with you.
Same here, Chris. All the best from Mile High City. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Chris Dorsey, executive producer of Dog's Most Wanted and head of Dorsey Pictures, joining us live from Denver. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you remember the correct answer, you will win the brand new book that's coming out very soon, The 3-Minute Rule. Say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. If you're somebody who wants to pitch a new TV series, scripted or unscripted, this might be the book for you. It's written by Pat Vindivic. Branson Diddick, who's on our program last Monday. He is also an unscripted TV executive and producer. Here's the question. The Untouchables was the first television series from the legendary executive producer Quinn Martin. What was the last? The Untouchables was the first television series from the legendary executive producer Quinn Martin, whose series included The Fugitive, Cannon, Barnaby Jones, The FBI, much, much more, many of them long-running. What is his last series? That's what we want to know. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win The 3-Minute Rule coming out this fall by Branson Diddick. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll try to say it again before we leave you today. If not, we'll post it first thing tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do yourself a favor. Play along. You never know. You could be our next classic trivia segment winner. This is Tsunami Televised. We are the program all about the tube. Now in our 13th year on the air, month number 2 to be exact, of year 13. We're delighted to have you with us live from New Weather York on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment for our guests ahead in the final half hour of our show today, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, BubbleBite 3, is still in the room. And I hope you are doing well wherever you are chat rooming us from. So be in the room. Get on the phone. Either way, we will get you involved. Don't forget, coming on our program Friday, we'll have 3 of the key executive producers and writers of the new Dark Crystals Age Resistance series that premiered this past Friday on Netflix. It's their new sensation based on the prequel reboot of the famous Jim Henson movie. Also on the program, we will have 2 of the 3 executive producers of ABC's new revival of Kids Say the Darnest Things coming later this month, Sunday nights in prime time, Eric Schatz and Jack Martin. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. Very excited about this show. Hearing a lot of good things about Dark Crystal, a lot of good things about Kids Say the Darnest Things. By the way, Eric Schatz, in case you don't know, worked on a previous edition of the show for CBS that was executive produced by Art Linkletter, who created the concept with the great TV show Giant John Goodell, who did You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx, Art Linkletter's House Party, People Are Funny, and Bill Cosby. work with both of them. We'll talk about his role in that series as well. Eric Schott and Jack Martin from Kids Say They Aren't the Same, they are with us again live Friday, along with the folks from the Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance on Netflix, right here, next Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, for those who are joining us at the top of the hour, we will have an update on Hurricane Dorian. And also, we will have two of the key Home and Garden TV executives behind a very Brady renovation premiering next Monday night. We will have senior executives Robert Winbush from HGTV headquarters in Knoxville and Lauren Roush from New York. They're coming this way after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio and www.speaker.com. Together, reaching over 35 million listeners around the globe every month and growing. And don't forget, you can check out on BTR tomorrow at 11 a.m. the popular series Kings of the Morning. Great conversation and all sorts of other stuff with Jay King and crew. That's Kings of the Morning tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here every weekday on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And remember, you can always catch the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised on this first Tuesday of September 2019, third day of the month. Thank you for tuning us in. We welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Abbaum here with you live from New York, 8 degrees at the top of the hour. And for those of you wondering what is going on with Hurricane Dorian, let's give you the latest on that situation. Earlier today, it was downgraded dramatically from a Category 4 to a Category 2 hurricane. But don't be fooled. This is still a very powerful storm. Winds at 110 miles per hour, gusting to 130, finally moving northwest after being stalled for most of the last 2 days at 2 miles per hour. It looks like, according to computer guidance, it will remain a Category 2 storm through Friday morning. Around Thursday, it's projected to be around the South Carolina coast, and Friday morning, around the North Carolina-Virginia border, could make landfall in a couple places, either South or North Carolina, depending on the direction of the storm. Storm surge right now is expected to be 3 to 5 feet from West Palm Beach to Newport Beach, Florida, and from Tony Beach to Cape Lookout, South Carolina, 4 to 7 feet or higher. And the rainfall totals right now projected are 3 to 5 inches in Daytona Beach, 2 to 3 in Jacksonville, 2 to 3 in Savannah, Georgia, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 7 to 10 inches. And that is an estimate. Could be higher depending on how close the storm gets to the shoreline. As we have seen, this is one of the most unpredictable phenomenons in weather in a very, very long time. So once again, if you're being urged, if you're in a low-lying area, you're being urged to evacuate, take and heed the warning. Go for it. Get stocked up on what you need, then move to higher ground, hotel, shelter, whatever you can. And of course, stay in touch with your local forecast services, local and state authorities, local news channels, TV stations, the Weather Channel, AccuWeather, et cetera, and of course, Blog Talk Radio hosts, I'm sure, will keep you posted throughout the week as to where the storm is going. But right now, it is still about 80 miles offshore of the Florida coastline. It is moving at 2 miles an hour, and again, this is a very powerful storm. Remember, a lot of people lose their lives in a hurricane. Not from the wind, not from the rain, but from drowning through the storm surge. So please, be advised, stay in touch. And those of you, by the way, that may be listening to us in Maryland, in New Jersey, New York metro area, Long Island, southern New England, Boston, etc., please, starting tomorrow or Thursday, pay attention to the direction of the storm. We may not be out of the woods yet in terms of how the storm will hit us. Okay? Okay. And again, stay in touch with us here at Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep you company, and we will all get through this. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody who's been impacted by the storm in the Bahamas, at least 5 people dead, maybe more news of that to come, and our condolences to all the families that are involved. Nearly 50 years ago, specifically on September 26, 1969, ABC premiered a new situation comedy on Friday nights about a couple formerly married to other people who got together, got married, and brought their respective offspring into what, as the song says, later became the Brady Bunch. The show ran 5 seasons on ABC, many more in syndication reruns, spun up a whole bunch of shows, Saturday morning animation, musical variety shows, a more contemporary version called The Brady's, etc., etc., etc. Well, next Monday night, almost 50 years to that premiere episode, is written by Sherwin Schwartz, its executive producer and creator. The Brady's are back, in a very Brady renovation on Home and Garden Television. And joining us live from different locations are the two senior executives at that network who oversaw the project. First up, from HGTV headquarters in Knoxville, Tennessee, we have Senior Programming Executive Robert Windisch. Robert, welcome in.
Oh, thanks so much. Very glad to be here.
And Robert, by the way, is the Senior Programming Director not only for Home and Garden Television, but for sister network DIY, Do It Yourself. And joining me here in New York is the Group Senior Vice President of Production Development, Lauren Bush. Lauren, welcome in.
Thanks so much, Simon. We're super excited to be here.
Same here for both of you. And Robert, we'll start with you. You couldn't have timed this any better, given it's a half century since we first came to know the Brady Bunch.
Well, thanks. You know what? It was really a happy accident that the house just happened to be for sale back in 2018, you know, in July. And, you know, we didn't even realize until we were a little ways into it that the 50th anniversary of the show, which premiered September 26, 1969, was just right around the corner. So it was really very fortuitous how the timing worked out.
And Lauren, how long has this project been in the making for?
This project has been in the making for over a year now. It all actually started with Robert, who is on this call as well, who came up with the idea in one of our development meetings at HGTV to buy the house. And we worked quickly to try to buy it as fast as we possibly could. And a year and a half later, here we are with the finished house and the show premiering next Monday night at 9 o'clock.
I believe we may have a caller on the line. Let's see if we do. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. All right, I guess not. I do know that in our chat room, we still have Vobovite 3. So, Vobovite, if you he already has a question. Brady's, 50 years later, is that wise? Robert, what do you think?
Oh, you know what? I really think that it is. It's interesting. I was just reading through Lloyd Schwartz's book the other day, just talking about how the show has just gone on and on. One of those things that's interesting about it is a lot of people don't remember that the Brady's, the actual show, The Brady Bunch, wasn't quite as popular when it premiered, but it was the syndication of it that really lifted it to new heights. And ever since then, the show's been in syndication in one way or another. And so what we've found during this whole year-long process is that people are just as enthralled and curious about the Brady's as they've ever been. So we think it's definitely the right move.
Mm-hmm. And Lauren, did you have to get permission from the Schwartz family? Sherwood, of course, is no longer with us. I'm not sure about – I think Lloyd Schwartz was part of Schwartz family. He directed many of the episodes, and Elroy Schwartz was one of the writers as well as directors. Did you have to get permission from the Schwartz family to do this? And then how did you get the Brady kids from Marie McCormick on down to be part of this?
Sure. I'll start with the Brady cast members. We met with them all individually and expressed our interest in working with them for the show because we thought that this show would really be a lot more meaningful if we had their stories, their memories of the house, and just their experience as being part of the Brady cast. And so we met with them individually. Eventually, for the first time since 1981, we got all six of them signed on to participate in the show. It's the last time they've been together regularly was 30-something years ago. So that was very meaningful. In terms of working with great partners, Lloyd Schwartz has been just wonderful to work with. He's been someone that's really guided us through the process, both of his own memories on the Brady Bunch and then also really helping us work with Paramount and with CBS and with several of the owners of the intellectual property and some of the business behind the scenes as well. And so it's been a really wonderful collaboration all the way around.
Now, Robert, the idea of this is you're taking the house that people saw, for example, when the opening credits of an episode were running, like written by, directed by, you saw that house in Sherman Oaks, California, and you want to renovate the inside of the house to have it look like the inside as we saw it at the Paramount studio where the Brady Bunch was filmed.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, and it's interesting, too, because I think most people who watch the show, you know, if they imagine, they would think, oh, wait a second, that house is shaped kind of interestingly. Like, if you look at it, it's laid out more of a vertical than a horizontal. And so we had to totally change that. And the house itself was actually about 2,500 square feet. It was a split level, had two bedrooms, two full baths, kitchen living room, and that was it. And so we were really fortunate that the yard was actually big enough for us to add a 2,000 square foot addition, and that allowed us to, you know, extend the house out and be able to add in the kitchen and family room on the first floor, and then upstairs the kids' bedrooms and their Jack and Jill bathrooms. So, you know, we have the entire house is actually like you would have seen it in the show. We have every single room, including Greg's attic from season 5, as well as Alice's bedroom that you saw in about 4 episodes. So every single room that you saw in the house is there inside of ours.
Mm-hmm. And Lauren, how has the household held up in the 50 years? Has it had different owners, the same owners? So who did you have to go through to get permission from the homeowners to actually renovate the house?
Well, the home has been owned by the same family for nearly the past 50 years. I think it actually has been all of the past 50 years. The granddaughter of the homeowner was wanting to make sure when they sold the house that they sold it to someone who would respect the property. And so I think that was one of the main reasons why they ultimately wanted to sell to HGTV, is they did not want this house to be demolished and turned into a McMansion. They wanted it to really represent something that was very meaningful to her grandmother, who lived in the house, who was always very proud of owning the Brady Bunch house. And so it was our job to turn this house into a living monument of everything that we associate with the Brady Bunch. But in actuality, as Robert was saying, it's the first time that there's been a brick-and-mortar location to represent the Brady Bunch house other than the Paramount set. And so it's been a really interesting process to make the inside match the outside and to make sure that it looks exactly identical to what our memories are.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very Brady renovation. It's the brand-new series that renovates the actual house that turned to be the metaphor, if you will, for the Brady Bunch television series that started on ABC nearly 50 years ago on a Friday night. I still remember that show. I did the first episode growing up here in the wonderful New York neighborhood of No Basement in Brooklyn. Anyway, we've got two of the key Home and Garden TV executives that are presenting the show, which will be premiering, by the way, next Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time from HGTV headquarters in Knoxville, Tennessee. We've got Robert Wimbush and here in New York, Lauren Roosh. And they're both live with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Avon with you live from New York, 8 degrees at the top of the hour, watching, of course, what's going on with Hurricane Dorian. Delighted you with us for our first September episode, which is turning out to be Wide World of Unscripted for these 90 minutes. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make the phone call and be interactive with us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. I want to welcome a new person into our chat room. If you have a question, put it in the room or give us a call at 646-652-2906. Robert, what kind of cooperation did Paramount TV, now part of Viacom, how do they help in terms of either suggesting how the rooms should be renovated, how they look like when they were being designed for the original show?
They were an incredible resource. Oh, I'm sorry, Robert, you go for it.
Oh, that's okay. There was two parts to this. One is, you know, CBS actually owns the IP, the intellectual property to the show, and so all of the old episodes, there's 117 of them. And so we worked in partnership with them to gain the rights to be able to actually use some of the clips. So that's one of the things I think the viewers are going to love, because not only are we renovating the house and the rooms, but you're also going to see some really fun clips that just flood back the memories if you enjoyed the series. So they were extremely helpful with that. They allowed us to do all sorts of things, like using the font, the 9 square box that you're familiar with at the beginning. They even allowed us to change the lyrics to the opening of the show to fit our show, which was really tremendous of them. They could not be better partners for that. And then Paramount actually helped us a lot. Believe it or not, they had in storage several props, some of which actually came from the TV show, which is hard to fathom that after 50 years they would still have, you know, it was almost like Raiders of the Lost Ark stored in this back lot warehouse in a trailer. They had some of the materials both from the show and then also from the movie. And I got to tell you, we couldn't have done it without them. I mean, we made or manufactured so many different props, but they had a lot of great things, like a replica of the horse that was on the credenza right next to the staircase that they allowed us to borrow. So we couldn't have asked for better partners between CBS and Paramount.
I have a hunch, Lauren, that when you announced this project internally, there was probably that every HGTV or DIY personality wanted to get in on this. In the end, did you assign this to a HGTV, somebody who had done work on HGTV shows before, or did you decide to go outside?
We did a combination of the two, actually. So if you watch the show, you'll see 8 HGTV talent that are hosts of our various shows on the air that are participating in the renovation of the home. They are helping design each individual room paired up with a Brady cast member. But we also had Dylan Eastman brought on board, who's our design and building manager, that really did a tremendous job of helping design this house from the ground up, and then Dave Clark, our contractor. So it was a combination of talented people who had passion for the Brady Bunch and a variety of different backgrounds, some who you may know from on air and others who you may not, but that have worked with us behind the scenes.
And Robert, once the six Brady, what were Brady kids, now Brady adults, you know, Barry Williams, Christopher Knight, et cetera, were aboard, how did you utilize them in terms of the show?
Sure. Well, you know, the thing that, about it is we're really counting on, you know, the cast to, you know exactly what each room looked like, even though they were all children at the time. Just the memories that they have are so vivid. I think we all just remember so many things from our childhood, and so it was really key having them sign off on everything that we were doing. And then we also, what we tried to do was utilize from them you know, whatever room was maybe near and dear to their heart. Obviously with Barry Williams, you know, Greg's attic, he spent a lot of time in Mike's den, you know, learning life lessons there. So those are two rooms that he took on. For Eve Plum, she really had a connection with Ambi Davis, and so she was really thrilled to work on Alice's bedroom, as well as she and Chris Knight worked on the kitchen and the family room. So we just tried to go with whatever room that the cast had the closest association with. The other thing that was really fascinating, we didn't realize at the time how much all of the cast had actually dabbled in some sort of renovation process. For example, Mike Lookinland, who played Bobby Brady, he actually owns a concrete business where he manufactures fireplaces and stairs and concrete sinks and countertops. And so he was a complete natural helping us in some of the things that we did at the house. Eve Plum's done a lot of flips and renovations. Chris Knight owns a furniture line. And so it was really interesting. And then Susan Olson had been in graphic design, so she helped us with recreating some of the wallpaper in the boys and girls rooms. So it's really interesting how some of their personal skills really translated to the renovation.
Plus, also, for both of you, all six have been involved in television in one way or another, either as part of Brady sequels, prequels, all sorts of spinoffs, but also, for example, Christopher Knight over a decade ago did a show, and I met him at the Discovery Upfront event at Alice Kelly Hall at the near Lincoln Center, that he did a show, he was a game show host for a wonderful program called Trivial Pursuit America Plays. It was on WWR here in New York. I thought the show was marvelous. It was the best Trivial Pursuit game ever devised for television. It involved the home audience as well as studio audience players. It was a well-done format, and it bombed because the stations would not promote it. It should have run a long time, but the stations just did not want to promote the show. And I told Chris that they did a great job with it, and, you know, what the heck happened? Yep. He had a good time with the show, thought it was a lot of fun, but the format worked, and it was the lack of promotion. Just not get it going. But that's too bad. Yeah. I hope the producers, Bert Wheeler and Sharon Sussman, wherever they are, will try again at some point in some medium. I think it would work, and I think the idea of the home viewer writing the questions was a brilliant idea. It gave the home viewers more of an ownership of the show. And that, I think, added to the fun of the program. But and by the way, how are the six Bradys doing? You know, how do they do in terms of promoting the program and also, you know, showing up at events like Alice Tully Hall, the Upfront, and other places? How active have they been in terms of getting the word out?
Honestly, they have been the most incredible partners you could ever possibly imagine. And I'm not just saying that. I really do believe it. They've been wonderful to work with, professional, kind, eager to participate in this project. They have a love for the Brady Bunch. They have a love for the renovation of this house, which was such a part of their childhood. And they've been really incredible social media partners and cross-promotional partners. So they've even appeared on a variety of shows across our Discovery Network's umbrella to help promote the show. Barry Williams appeared on Fast and Loud on the Discovery Channel. All six of them have appeared on episodes of Chopped on Food Network to promote to the show. Eve Plum appeared on The Kitchen on the Food Network. So, and Susan Olsen on Worst Cooks in America. So we've had really, really incredible partnership with them, and they've just been really eager to do anything they could to promote this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chopped is on tonight at 9 o'clock, and that one's got Barry and Maureen and Mike in it, and it's Hawaii episode themed. So the mystery baskets are going to have some pretty interesting things in them from Hawaii.
Oh, they'll have a great Hawaii adventure with that one. I still remember the Hawaii episode of The Brady Bunch with Florence and Robert Reed and so forth. That was one of the highlights of the series. So I'm curious to see how they respond to this Hawaiian adventure with those mystery baskets. And you know, Chopped, you never know what's going to be in those baskets.
Exactly. I think you'll get a hoot out of it. It's really good stuff. It's very funny.
For sure. We're speaking with Robert Wimbish and Lauren Ruff. They are two of the key Home and Garden TV executives behind A Very Brady Renovation, a series that's been about a year in the making, and it finally happens starting next Monday night at 9 p.m. East Pacific time on Home and Garden Television. Robert's with us live from HGTV headquarters in Knoxville, Tennessee. Lauren live here in New York this half hour on Smiley Show. Two more minutes with them, so get your call in if you can, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Let me see if we do have a caller on the line. Let's try this. Hello, you're on Smiley Show Live. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Okay, you gave it a try. Anyway, one thing I definitely want to cover before we wrap is the fact that a number of Brady Bunch fans were also involved in suggesting ideas for the redesign of the home.
Are you talking about the crowdsourcing?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really interesting. We had a lot of success trying to find some of the furnishings for the house, but at the same time, the show's 50 years old, and so trying to find some of those things wasn't quite as easy as we had hoped. And so our design and build manager, Dylan Eastman, came up with the idea of, why don't we go out to the fans and see if they can find, some of these items for us if they happen to have them in their home. And sure enough, we got quite a few responses and worked out, it's interesting. The state of Michigan, I think, must be really happy with antiques because at least three of our bigger items came from Michigan. We got a refrigerator for the kitchen that came from there. We also got Greg's radio for the attic came from there. And then there was one other item. I can't remember off the top of my head what that was that came from Michigan. Oh, the curio cabinet in the living room came from Michigan. So it was really interesting how many folks reached out to us when we put that up and said, hey, we sent out basically the bat signal or the Brady signal in this case and said, can you help us? And, again, the enthusiasm you were asking earlier about, is it smart bringing back the Bradys? The enthusiasm that we saw on that and across our social media is just unbelievable. People cannot get enough of the Bradys. They absolutely love them.
Yeah. Lauren, that is the way to wrap up. I want to ask both of you, why do you think 50 years after the first episode, why this show has spawned so much and has become a unique part of American pop culture?
I put so much thought into this, and I think that the way I would summarize it best is this show captures the essence of our 12-year-old selves, and there's nothing that can do that better than the Brady Bunch. And so I think that every single person that Robert and I chat with about this project has their favorite episode. They remember the tiki. They remember the wallpaper in the boys' room. They remember the life lesson that Mike gave the kids. There's something about the show that just taps into a part of our nostalgia and a part of our childhood that we couldn't find with any other show on television. And so I think that's why 50 years later, it's just as relevant. And 50 to me is almost the least important part of it because the show's been in syndication the entire time. So there are people in their 20s that are sharing their memories. There's people in their 30s sharing their memories. And there's people in their 50s that are sharing their memories. It really does have something that touches all of us. And I think that nostalgia is at the core of all of that.
And Robert, what about you?
You know, I have to echo what Lauren said. I think it's just the show was so wholesome. And I think the other thing that is interesting, I was reading about this the other day, is from Lloyd was talking about the fact that, you know, even though there was a lot going on in that era between 69 and 74, they kept most of that out of the show. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it lives on to this day so well. It's because it's not necessarily, even though it was set in 69 to 74, it's not really a time capsule that talks about maybe some of the issues that were going on then. And I think, too, it's just so family-friendly that you can still watch that show with your kids, and it's just so wholesome, and there were so many takeaways in there. And I think, too, the thing that's interesting about it is that the mom and dad were both hand-in-hand together. You know, a lot of TV shows these days, the dad is kind of goofy and not really there, but that show really had the dynamic of mom and dad on the same page at the same time. And I think that's one of the reasons people still really love it to this day.
And I'll throw one thing in. I think another thing that really worked were the performances of Florence Henderson and Robert Reed. I think for many, many people, they were like the parents you wanted to have growing up, because they were wholesome, because they did give you life lessons, and that you wanted that kind of a family. You wanted that kind of special bond, and they definitely provided it. I'd be curious to see if they were still around today, as well as Sherwood Schwartz, the creative executive producer, what they would think of the show.
I think that one of the things that you just mentioned was so powerful when we were on set, and that was how much the cast reflected about Robert Reed, Ann B. Davis, and Florence Henderson, and their own when they were revealed the rooms, the cast members were in tears much of the time because it just brought back such vibrant memories. And so I'm hoping that this series will capture some of that as well.
A Very Brady Renovation begins 1 week from tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Home and Garden Television Network. Check it once a week with that service available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details, go to the room online, hgtv.com. That's hgtv.com. A Very Brady Renovation begins next Monday night, 1 week from tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Robert Wimbish, Lauren Roosh, thank you both very much for coming on the program. Good luck with this series. Congratulations to everybody involved for making it happen. Look forward to seeing it starting Monday night. It's been a delight having you aboard this half hour.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Simon. Enjoyed it.
You're welcome, Robert and Lauren. Take care. Have a great week. All the greatest.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
And thanks again to all of our guests for this sort of wide world on Unscripted TV. Once again, before we go, we're going to give you the classic trivia question. And I want to address Vorobyte3, by the way, who gave us an answer. Again, the classic trivia question is this. The Untouchables was the first television series from legendary executive producer Quinn Martin. What was his last? And the Vorobyte3, who gave us all the wonderful comments in the chat room today, it was not Dan August. It was in the middle period of the 1970s. Great show, by the way, with the late, great Burt Reynolds. Again, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. First correct answer wins the 3-minute rule by Brant Bindivic. Thanks again to all of our guests for tuning in, and all of you for tuning in as well. Join us again on Friday. We have a wonderful show in store for you. We'll have three of the executive producers of the new Netflix sensation, The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. And from the new ABC series, Kids to the Darndest Things, premiering in primetime Sunday night later this month, we will have executive producers Eric Schatz and Jack Martin. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check us out on podcast anytime this week. You can catch us on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televised in the search bar, click and you're in, or go to categories, click entertainment, and you get our show there. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our wide world of unscripted television? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going, both scripted and unscripted? Let me know. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our regular feature of Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves more attention? Let us know. We'll give it the attention, give you the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. However you communicate, we do respond, because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio Speaker and iHeartRadio. And BTR Production Associates Candace Williams, Andy Toes Blog Talk Radio's General Manager, Sage Steinberg is Executive Content Producer, and the co-founders of BTR, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transform the way you hear the world. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful week ahead. Please keep thoughts in mind for everybody dealing with Hurricane Dorian. And remember, please, if you're in the area that Dorian may pass by or be close to, please stay in touch with your local authorities on what to do. If you need to move, do move. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. You know where, Block Talk Radio Speaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're doing this week, please make it safe, and more than ever, make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.